Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, and welcome back to Cases of Color, the year-end wrap-up that you all have been waiting for. I cannot tell you how many people have asked me for case updates, but I wanted to save it for the perfect time. I also wanted to make sure I had a decent amount of cases to give updates for. And I do have some updates, and I have some cases that are still sitting unsolved, but that's okay. We're going to discuss them. And if you are new here and you have not got a chance to listen to Cases of Color, well, this is an opportunity for you to be able to hear some cases that I've discussed and go back and re-listen to some episodes if you haven't listened to them just yet. I definitely think this would be the perfect time to do that. So yeah, if you are not following me on Twitter and Instagram, what are you doing at Cases of Color on both platforms? Please make sure you hit me up and like talk to me, DM me. I love talking to you guys. I love when you guys share me your stories or comment on whatever. I just really, 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 really love hearing from you guys. So definitely follow me at Cases of Color on both platforms. Also, I have some merch. The link will be in the description box of this podcast. We have coffee mugs, bags, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it. So support your girl and get you some Cases of Color merch. And with that being said, let's get into the long-awaited case updates. So the first one we have is Lavina Johnson, and that was episode one. So Lavina Johnson was a private in the United States Army. She was murdered while she was on deployment, but the Army ruled it a suicide. She had a number of wounds that she absolutely could not have done herself, yet the Army still decided to rule it a suicide, and they did some very suspicious things after her death. Such as glue her gloves to her hands and attempted to pressure the family to have a closed casket funeral. To this day, the Army and the Department of Defense is still refusing to reopen the case, regardless of the overwhelming evidence and public outcry for years now. Fortunately, when the tragic murder of Vanessa Guillen occurred, it brought attention back to Lavina's story and the long history of violence and sexual assault against women in the military. So that is one thing to be grateful for, that her story did come back to light and that people were made aware of what happened to her once again. Definitely very happy and very grateful for that. But again, tragically, there is no justice for Lavina Johnson. And unfortunately, they still will not reopen her case, even though there's, again, that overwhelming evidence. And it's very clear that something happened to her. So please just keep the family in the prayers. The family, for me, is always like my top priority when stuff like this occurs. So just please keep the family in your prayers for sure. The next is going to be Mytrese Richardson. That was episode two. So Mytrese Richardson was a young woman who was released from a Malibu jail in the middle of the night in a rural part of California without her phone and her car keys or being escorted back to her vehicle. After her mother was called, her mother said to keep her there until she could get there in the morning. And they refused to do so because Mytrese was an adult. So it took about 11 months until her remains were discovered in some random part of the woods. They claim that she pretty much wandered off somewhere and died, but it definitely doesn't seem probable. And even if that is true, the police department didn't do their part to help someone that was very clearly in mentally distress. If you go back and listen to episode two, I detail her different erratic behaviors and how it was very clear that there was something else that was going on. This definitely wasn't somebody who just drank too much. She definitely had something else going on, and they still released her into the middle of nowhere. It's not like she was able to get a bus or anything like that. They just released her. So on August 9th, 2020, it was the 10-year anniversary of when her family finally found out what happened to her. Sadly, there are no updates, and Malibu police to this day has never taken responsibility for what happened. And I believe it was one of the city officials of Malibu had some of the Black Lives Matter posts that featured Maitrece Richardson and a few others as well taken down in Malibu. It was basically detailing how the Malibu police neglected certain lives of Black people, and Maitrece was one of them. If I'm not mistaken, one of the city officials, cannot think of his official title, of Malibu, did have those taken down and removed. So to me, that tells me everything that I need to know about how the Malibu police feels about Black people, and especially Maitrece Richardson. Our next update is about Relisha Rudd. That was episode 3. Relisha Rudd, in February of this year, 2020, marked 6 years since she went missing. And Relisha was gone for 30 days before anyone noticed anything was out of place. She was absent from school. They allegedly were doing bed checks at the homeless shelter that she lived at. However, 30 whole days went by and nobody had laid eyes on little Relisha Rudd. Relisha Rudd was a little Black girl from DC who lived in a homeless shelter with her mother and other siblings. She was taken by a man that she knew who worked at the facility. That's who she was last seen with on CCTV in a hotel, and she was never seen again. And sadly enough, the man who took her was found in a murder-suicide situation. He killed himself and murdered his wife for reasons unknown to us and unknown to others as well. To this day, the mother has still not been charged, even though sadly, I think even if she didn't do it herself, she knows exactly what happened to Relisha Rudd, in my opinion. One positive that did come from her case is that now shelters are required to do in-depth bed checks to ensure that things like this do not happen. If you go back and listen to episode 3, you'll hear how they were just pretty much taking the mother's word that Relisha was there versus actually physically going to check. And now that is something that they have put into place to ensure that stuff like that doesn't happen to other children. Our next case is Rico Harris. There's not one mention of an update or even a sighting of Rico. Rico was a former Globetrotter who had a troubled past but was turning over a new leaf with a new girlfriend, and he showed up to his mother's home and erratically one night and insisted on driving 17 hours back to his girlfriend, and he was never seen again. Somewhere in between that trip, he is completely lost. And the weird thing about this story, he wasn't a little guy. He was a big guy. I mean, he was huge and wide and tall, not somebody who could just easily disappear into society. I honestly think because they talk about there being a body of water, I randomly thought about it. I don't know if he was able to swim or not, but if he was not able to swim, there's a possibility maybe he went to get into the water and maybe the current was strong and it took him in. And I only say that because they haven't even found a body. And again, a bigger person like that, a tall person like that, you would think that they would have find the skeleton, something, especially with him being on foot in that area. It's not like he went very far and he left all of his belongings. I'm thinking for them not to have found a body, it's possible that he drowned in whatever body of water it was that was by him. So that's my thoughts on that, but unfortunately, no tangible updates. The next one is from episode 5, Tamla Horsford. This is like the viral sensation in Black true crime. Like, this one has gone all over the internet. Still hasn't made it onto Oxygen and ID channel, but I'm gonna be quiet about that. Hopefully in 2021 they change their ways. But Tamla Horsford was a married mother of 5 that went to an adult-only sleepover and ended up dead on the back lawn. They alleged that she jumped or fell off of the deck, and that is how she died. But some lacerations and blood pooling would indicate that something else definitely occurred. In September of 2020, they decided to reopen the investigation, citing the inconsistent witness statements that I also mentioned in my podcast and new evidence that I was not aware of, stating that her body had marks on it that were consistent with some type of struggle, you guys. I am really hoping that in 2021 we see justice for Tamla and most importantly her husband and her children, because this case really fucking pissed me off, man. The way they treated this and just took people's word for it. How her body just sat in the lawn for over an hour before anybody called the police. The blood pooling, the lacerations, how they tried to write it off as she just fell from this deck and died. I could see being injured, but dying. Get, dude, whatever. Like, ugh. I really hope that 2021 is the year that we see some justice for Tamla. And if we do, I would definitely be making a whole episode about it because this case is just something else. It definitely is. And if you haven't listened to episode 5, you really should, because I mean, this case is literally crazy. And the fact that nothing was done is just, it blows my mind. The next one is episode 6. So Kendrick Johnson was a Valdosta, Georgia teen that allegedly got stuck in a wrestling mat trying to retrieve a pair of shoes that he allegedly shared with another classmate. But the condition of his face and his body from being in the mat would tell a completely different story. Not only were his shoes off, but the footage in the gym clearly has been altered. It literally goes from having kids in the gym to a completely different group of children, like a complete jump. It's not even good editing. It literally goes from one part to another. You can see where Kendrick runs into the gym, but you never see him leave. And in my opinion, someone did something with that footage. If you go back and listen to episode 6, I talk about some of the very suspect things that they did in the time between finding his body and, you know, getting him off to the corner. There was a lot of time that went on between that, and I think that time was used to cover up what happened to Kendrick Johnson. And since then, in July of 2020, a lawsuit against the two brothers that were assumed suspects was dropped, but in November of 2020, the family was making attempts to take out another lawsuit. I truly feel in my heart that this young boy was murdered by one of those brothers and that it was covered up by the school and many others, being that their dad had connection to the FBI and other things. If you have not listened to episode 6, Kendrick Johnson, definitely need to listen to it. That was and is still one of my most listened to episodes. So if you've not listened to the Kendrick Johnson episode, once you finish this, you need to go on back to episode 6 and really get into that. When I tell you, the details of this case are so troubling to me. As somebody who sends their kids to school, I'm literally just sitting here like, my kids are really at the mercy of these schools. I won't know anything until they want me to know something. And that in itself is just so troubling. The next case is going to be the Millbrook twins. The Millbrook twins also have never been found. And the Millbrook twins were the case of the two twins who went to go visit family. And then they went to take the bus home, stopped at a convenience store, and nobody has seen them since then. That was episode 8. And the Millbrook twins is literally so haunting to this day. Their case did get more notoriety in 2020. Oxygen, shortly after I did my podcast episode, coincidentally also did a really good special dedicated to the Millbrook twins. I watched it twice. It was really good. They talked to the family. I mean, they gave really good detail. And the saddest part is that this really seems like a case that I think will remain unsolved forever. And I say that because these girls vanished without a trace. Two of them, which is so trippy to me that like both of them went missing. It just blows my mind often that twins went missing. And I mean, they barely talked about it. They barely said anything about them. And it's really sad. It's very sad and it's very disgusting because I think if they would have got their pictures put out there, something could have been done. And I really think they would have been found or somebody would have said something. But I still believe that somebody knows something. But unless that somebody comes forward and speaks on that, we'll never know what happened to those twins. Very sadly. You know, it's very, very, very unfortunate. So the next one is Sage Smith. Sage Smith was a trans woman that went missing 8 years ago. She was set to meet with someone and was never seen again. She was allegedly seen a man named Eric McFadden, who is still listed as a person of interest in the homicide of Sage. 8 years later, there has still been no advancements in this case. Without a body, they most likely will not go forward, even with the astounding amount of circumstantial evidence against McFadden. Like I said, they still have him listed as a person of interest, but I honestly believe since this was a trans woman, they really didn't take this very serious. If you go back and listen to episode 9, you hear how I talk about all the things McFadden was able to do after he was named a suspect, and the fact that they didn't keep a tight leash on him, to me, just tells me they didn't really take this shit very seriously, and I truly believe that's why he was able to get away with the murder of Sage Smith, and it's honestly troubling and extremely disgusting, just how they dropped the ball on this. The next one is Crystal Kaiser. Crystal Kaiser was a teenager that killed an older man that she alleges was paying her for sex and taking advantage of her. She was underage at the time. He was in his late 30s, early 40s, if I'm not mistaken. And they convicted her to life in prison for his murder without any regards for her as a victim. To this day, the state of Wisconsin is still trying to dispute the fact that Crystal Kaiser was possibly sex trafficked. I haven't seen any proof of that. One thing that has been seen are videos that this man had of him having sex with multiple young girls, aka children. I don't like the term young women or even young man. Young girls, young boys, children. Having sex with children. This case to me was very reminiscent of Centoria Brown's situation. Where they did not treat her as a child, nor did they treat her as a victim. I'm hoping that there is some regard to her as a minor in the future, in 2021. I'm glad to hear that people are still fighting for her. I just hope that the fighting is not in vain and that there is some type of outcome that mirrors justice. The next one is Kira Coles. That was episode 15. Kira Coles is the Chicago postal worker that was pregnant and was supposed to come to work but never showed. To this day, 2 years later, Kira has never been found. And it has been, like I said, as of October 2nd, 2 years since anybody laid eyes on her. As of October this year, her case has been labeled suspended by the Chicago Police Department, meaning that they cannot go any further on the case, even with the evidence that they have, because they don't really have much. A suspended case can be reopened at any time, but it basically just means that they are stopping what they're doing on the case until they get further evidence, a confession or something like this. I said it on the episode, and I'm going to say it again. I truly believe that her child's father is responsible for her death. I think he knows exactly what happened to her. He literally made no efforts when she went missing to find her, search for her, completely cut off the family, and rejoined his other baby's mother very shortly after. And when I say shortly, I don't even mean a month later. So if you want more details on that, definitely listen to episode 15. If you already listened, give it a re-listen, you know, go and rehash. But that Kira Cole story really breaks my heart. And it's honestly just really sad because it's very clear, in my opinion, that this man should at least be a person of interest. And the fact that he's not, it just literally blows my mind. I really feel like they put in minimal police work for this missing pregnant woman. And I feel like we, again, will not know what happens to her until they press the right people. My last update, sadly, is Sydney Taylor and Chrislyn Gibson. The bodies of these two still have never been found. Even though the man responsible was indicted for their murders, they still have not found the bodies. And as the family has said, you know, until they can lay them to rest, they really feel like they can't rest. And unfortunately, their murderer is not talking. So the bodies have still not been recovered, and the family has still not been able to lay them to rest. So please keep them in your thoughts. You guys, these are the updates. A lot of other cases, there's been no movement, or I reported on them so recently that nothing has really changed yet. But I definitely want to make this a twice a year thing. As we're going into the new year, I just want to thank y'all for this year. I did not put out a lot of content this year, yet I have my best numbers this year, and that's thanks to y'all. This year would not have been able to be as great without all of you. I'm so grateful for all of my listeners. I'm grateful for every comment, every tweet, every time you guys reach out to me. You guys have just given me an abundance of love and support, and the fact that you all listen to me and support me and really love what I do is always going to mean the world to me. So I just wanted to say thank you and a happy new year from Cases of Color. I can't wait for you guys to see what I have in store for you in 2021. So like always, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good middle of the night.